Love God. Love others. Love yourself. The idea seems simple, isn't it? Love God, love others, love yourself. Very easy. And these words resonate with our circuit's vision strapline. If you were at the circuit meeting, I think it's about a month ago now, where we were trying to put together a vision statement for the Enfield circuit, and we've come up with these words, loving God, loving people, making disciples. We're living in an era when we are overloaded with the sorrows of this world. Yet, rather than looking sad and forlorn and filled with grief at the losses that we see around us, we are embracing a narrative of hope that helps us to embody the gospel and share God's message of love. And this matters. It matters not only because it is the duty of the church to hold a compelling vision for the good that can be done in the world, but also because we need to adopt strategies that allow our resources and gifts and talents to be used for the sake of God's kingdom. The American writer and activist Terry Tempest Williams gave us some food for thought in one of her books called Finding Beauty in a Broken World. That's the title of the book, Finding Beauty in a Broken World. She says that finding beauty in a broken world is creating beauty in the world that we find. Finding beauty in a broken world means creating beauty in the world that we find. And she asked the question, if the world is falling into pieces, I want to know what story I can make with the fragments. So I just want to invite you to close your eyes for 1 second and hear this question again. And please allow the question to echo in your ears. The question is, if the world is falling to pieces, I want to know what story I can make with the fragments. Does anybody have an answer to that? If the world was falling into pieces, I want to know what story I can make with the fragments. Because when something falls into pieces, it's fragmented, isn't it? So what story do you think you can make with a fragmented world? Does it make sense? Shall we even try? Does anybody have an answer? Or are you still pondering on the question? Yes, sir. Use the blue of love. Oh, fantastic! That's the strapline, isn't it? Love. Love conquers all. With love, there is nothing that is unachievable. There is nothing that is undoable. So, that's the answer I have as well. Because at this moment in time, it does feel like the world is falling into pieces with everything that's going on. You just have to switch on the TV, turn on the radio, go on your social media app of whatever, Facebook or Instagram or anything, and it's one bad news after another bad news after another bad news. But hey, here is the thing. We are disciples of Christ. And we have opportunities to make stories even in the worst of times. And I think the best story that we can make, as we, our friend there has said, is the story of love. The aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, the current cost of living crisis, the wars that we keep hearing about, have resulted in huge, huge disruptions in people's lives. They've affected people's livelihoods, There's massive deprivation and poverty, not only in the UK, around the world. The situation in the world is one that is desperately in need of love of God and neighbor. And our Bible readings today that our dear friend has read so beautifully for us. What's your name, darling? Sorry? Jessica read so beautifully for us. Those Bible readings invite us to dig deep into our understanding of our faith and our values and consider anew what it means to live this greatest commandment, to love God, to love God with all our hearts, to love God with all our mind, to love God with all our strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think we're all going to be looking at this because we have tried, you know, to put this as our vision statement for this circuit. So it's going to affect each and every one of us. Every day we need to be thinking, how do we love God with all our hearts and with all our minds and with all our strength? How do we love God as, how do we love our neighbors as ourselves? We just have to think about our environment, our community. Here at Southgate, I believe a community which has changed over time, which keeps changing all the time. I believe you have a huge, you know, Jewish community here. I believe you have other ethnicities that live in your neighborhood. How are you embracing this commandment of loving God, loving neighbor, and loving yourself? And of course, an ethical question, like, who is my neighbor, has long faced human beings. We go back to Genesis. That first question also that Cain was asking God when he killed his brother, when God was asking him, where is your brother, Abel? And Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? What a silly question to ask. So if we flip the coin, we're asking, who is my neighbor? And in our gospel passage that Jessica read for us, that was a question that was posed to Jesus when all these Pharisees, these learned people, you know, were grieving him and asking him about this greatest commandment. And when he said, and then they asked him, who is my neighbor? And that question was posed to test Jesus because it was a belief in Judaism that all the laws of Moses were of equal importance. So when the Pharisees asked Jesus about the greatest commandment, they were essentially testing whether Jesus will give preference to some laws and render others inferior. It's about when we talk about sin, it's like, is there, you know, like a hierarchy of sin? If you lie, is it better than stealing? If you do this, is it better? There's always that kind of thing that people are wrestling with, you know. Are some sins inferior to others? Of course, when people commit crimes and things like that, of course there are levels of things that happen. And the gravity of some crimes, you know, sometimes they're just mind-blowing and you cannot help but do the proper justice, of course. So it is important to understand, because the Torah or law is rightly understood when it is read through the lens of love of God and love for neighbor. How you love people shows your relationship with God, because you cannot say you love God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, and you're not able to love your neighbor as yourself. You're not able to love that unlovable person. You're not able to love that person who is a thorn in your flesh. And there are so many things, because we call ourselves Christians, we're often faced with challenging situations. And then people come back to us and say, well, I thought you're a Christian, why should you do that? Or why should you not forgive? Or why should you treat me like this? So that is a challenge for us. How do we love our neighbors? Christ ourselves. Therefore, the lawyer in this passage in Matthew is essentially asking, how far do the love priorities of the Torah or the law extend? Do we love people who are different from us? People who do not share our faith? People whose views are different from our views? Humanity has been challenged by different things at different times, of course. And difference has made people the target of disrespect, of denigration, prejudice, and the list goes on and on. But I believe that we have all learned something about respecting the dignity of the other, whoever they might be. We ourselves are redeemed by love. And despite all that divides and distracts us, we're encouraged to love and build up people. We're encouraged to build up our communities. We're encouraged to build cultures all on the basis, on the strengths of love. God wants each one of us to bring His love, His joy, freedom to those around us to help build God's kingdom here on earth. And in his famous novel, Les Miserables, some of you might have gone to the West End and watched that film, or the, what is it called now? The musical, Les Miserables, where only it was based on this book that the French romantic writer and politician wrote. And he notes in that book, Les Miserables, that to love another person is to see the face of God. He wasn't preaching theology, he wasn't writing anything about the Bible, but he had that conviction within him. He was a romantic writer. But he had that conviction within him to say that to love another person is to see the face of God. I feel that that's really profound. We are constantly reminded that in the face of every individual we encounter in this world, we encounter the image of God. Our lives are interconnected, and God's love transcends boundaries of geography, boundaries of race, boundaries of religion, of sex, of socioeconomic status, and even convenience. And I think that's why, you know, we have passion in different aspects of society where we're seeing injustices in different parts of the world, and people are rising up to those injustices because they see the face of God in others, others who don't look like them, others who have nothing to do with them, but they can't just sit there and see these injustices going on because they see God's image in the other. Embodying love of God, love for others and for oneself, is one of the greatest challenges. It is one of the greatest of challenges. And tied to this love of God and neighbor is also the love of ourselves, because we cannot give up empty. We need to love ourselves. We need to embrace self-care. We need to look after ourselves. And only then we'll be able also to look after the other person. So let us grab this thing that is most challenging, because it is without a doubt the very core of our gospel. And it is true, the heart of a life of faith is love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. To be a Christian is to be called to that life of love, allowing that life to guide our actions and our way of living and being in this world. But that calling is also a lifelong task that requires our willingness to be surprised by what that love turns out to be. We are called to be compassionate and to take care of the destitute, to feed the hungry,
to welcome the stranger, to seek out the lost and broken. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to live in the moment, to face what is hard and uncertain. And like I said, we're equally called to look after our own well-being, because without that, we get burnt out and cannot be the force for good that we want to be. We are to be known for our love of God, of others, and of ourselves. We are to constantly look out for new possibilities for mission and services to reshape and refocus our priorities. We are to deepen our sense of community and mutual accountability to each other. We are to listen and empower our congregations to speak words of hope and deliverance. Such is the power of Scripture, my dear brothers and sisters here at Southgate. And it is the bold statement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.